Welcome to the Hella Chingona podcast, where chingonas thrive. The idea is to create an ongoing conversation that uplifts through testimonio, our personal storytelling, in a way that brings folks together across space and time, anchored in sincerity, power, and community. I am your host, Rosana Alvarez, and I am super jazzed to kick it with y'all in beautiful conversation, sometimes with a guest, and other times, solita, solita, pero igual de cabroncita. I had a chance to finally sit down with none other than Dulce Aguilera and have a great convo about red lipstick resistance. We talked about so many things, but for those of you who don't know, Dulce is rooted in the east side of San Ho. She's an adult probation community worker committed to changing the narratives and lives of justice-involved families while giving them the tools to thrive. She's a scholar Chola Chingona, breaking generational traumas, grounded in community and heart, all while rocking red lips. For those of you that don't know, I asked Dulce to go ahead and give us an introduction to who she be, and that's how we kicked off the segment.
Okay, well, thank you for having me, first of all. I'm Dulce Aguilera, and I am a daughter to Silvestre and Rosa Gutierrez. I'm a sister to a whole mess of brothers, so I'm not even going to name all of them. And I have my brothers also in the community that have helped me thrive. Being the only female, you know, it's crazy. I have three sons, Angel, Anthony, and Alex, and my husband, Eduardo. And it's just been a whirlwind growing up in San Jose. But, you know, when I was thinking, when you invited me to this, I was like, you know, when did I start wearing this red lipstick? And I actually started wearing that red lipstick, like that bright red lipstick, back in elementary school. And one of my best friends, me and her were like, you know, not your average chicas. And her name was Pauline Marie Duran, and she passed away in 2021. Mm. But see that red lipstick?
Yeah. Yeah.
So she was like my best friend. I mean, she was my everything. And now seeing her kids and her grandkids, I mean, I wish she was here to see all this. But, you know, we started rocking this red lipstick because we just thought that, you know, we looked older than we did. And, you know, it was that signature look. Everybody had like that brown lipstick or like that burgundy with the black. And we're like, nah, we're cool. So we would do the red lipstick. In middle school, it was almost the same thing. You know, everybody was rocking like weird shades, because that's when it started happening with like alternative, and, you know, girls started changing, and we still rocked that red lipstick. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for, you know, crazy reasons. It was just that signature look. And honestly, still to now, I rock it with a lot of power because everything is very double-sided. I work at the reentry center here in San Jose. I'm part of adult probation, working with clients that, you know, get released from prison or jail and they need services. And it is a population of mostly men. But the thing is that, you know, a lot of things are double-sided here. And I'm not just saying here at the reentry, I'm just saying everywhere. And so, you know, number one, my name is Dulce, and I'm probably the only Dulce, except for Candy, that used works at, I think now she's at a main jail, but she's a cook. But I'm the only Dulce here at probation. You know, for many, many years, I've been working at James Ranch. I've been at the hall. Now I'm at adult. And still, you know, people that I've had, you know, back in 2000, now that are adults or have their own kids, are like, hey, look out for Dulce. She's a good girl. Like, she's going to come and help you. She's going to give you those resources that no one else will give you. And, you know, like I was telling you before, Rosana, it's a very hard and very frustrating when the services are here, but people that are supposed to be delivering these services or referring people to these services are not doing their jobs. So this is where I come in with that warm handoff. you know, a client can come in, let me know honestly what they really need. I'm not a probation officer, I'm a community worker. And this makes it more easier for them to understand, like, I'm coming from a place of safety, a place of love, and I want what's best for you. I don't want you and your family to keep on going in circles. Mm-hmm. You know, in my own family, it's happened, you know, they're in and out of jail, they're in and out of prison. But at the same token, you still have hope for them. And so for every client that comes in, I give them that same space, that same hope. And even in my office, it's not like your regular office. Like, I have a lot of stuff, as you can see.
Again, the tour on screen.
My tour, you know, of all the things that I love. And it's just, I want them to feel safe. I want them to feel that they're not just coming to, you know, a place where they're going to try to share their business. And then I'm going to be like, nah, this person needs this and that. Like, this is a place where you're going to feel safe. You're going to feel like we're family. And I'm just trying to be real with you. I'm going to meet you halfway. And if you meet me 50, then we got it. But right. If I'm giving you more than your 50, then you know what? You're not ready. And that's fine. That's what I always tell even the kids that I work with at juvenile hall or here at adult. Whenever your time is ready, you'll be ready. And if I have to see you in another year, 2, 5 years, or when, you know, even if you're not ready later, I still got you.
Right.
And so, yes, this is my signature look. But not just work related. Like, I do a lot of things outside in the community. I do Mexica New Year every year. You know, I do Dia de los Muertos, which is a profound event for me. But not just that, you know, it's just giving back, because I started as a Moxa youth back in the 90s.
Hey, you know? Moxa, yep. Yeah.
And so even with that, I went through the programs. I went through gang intervention. I went through their job search. I went through tattoo removal. I went through so much stuff there. And now being here at the reentry, it reminds me of that. It reminds me of that one-stop shop, so you don't have to go to A, B, C, and D. You have everything there. People are going to know your name. And then by the end, you graduate, you go on to being successful. And yeah, you're still going to have your friends and your family, but you know, you have another way of thinking. And so, you know, I've just been blessed to have this amazing life. And I'm not going to say that it's been beautiful, but you know, there's days where I just can't, and it takes a toll on me.
Right.
But at the same token, I have my kids, my boys that keep me grounded. I have people like you, Rosanna, that, you know, give me that umph that, you know, you can keep on going, girl. You're a chingona. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, like my mom says, like, you know, eres una guerrera, eres una chingona. She doesn't like the word chingona. I've been like, you know, throwing it in there. But honestly, I love what I do. I love helping people. And it's that full circle moment. And, you know, joking aside, I always tell people, like, I'm going to heaven for all the sins that I've committed. This work is going to get me to see Jesus one of these days.
It's going to seal the deal.
Yeah.
And I hear you talking so much about legacy and almost like this community care apapacho, right? Where it's like, there is care, there's tenderness, there's also accountability.
Yes.
So as you're talking, I'm hearing legacy and I'm hearing círculo. And I'm hearing círculo in a way that doesn't quite translate. I know it's become one of those buzzwords and ways of being that everybody wants to do círculo, even if they can't pronounce it. But I think what I hear you saying there is that it's a community and we've all got each other in some ways. And one of the beautiful things about a circle is there's always room for more of us, right? Yes. Somebody walks in, you take a little step back, let someone else take a step forward. The space becomes bigger to include more of us.
Yes.
So I hear you sharing tidbits of all of that with very specific things you do and carrying on the stories of other people like Pauline, carrying on the stories of clients that you work with, carrying on the stories of our familia even, right? Because I think people see us in our job titles and suddenly we become not so much people, but these professionals removed from the very people-y, flawed, messy-ass, red, smeared, lipstick-wearing people we can be. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something beautiful about remaining alongside all of those parts of us, even when the people are no longer in our lives for whatever reason, right?
Yeah.
So when I heard you say muertos is important to you, and I know, you know, aside from that, on your flyer, I was like, I got to put the calavera right here because it's dulce, muertos, red lipstick. And there's something just iconic about you, but I think it's what you activate by way of that. So if you could, if you don't mind indulging me a little bit and elaborating more on that, like what is it about that that calls to you and your spirit and your heart and even in how you approach the work, right? Because you're talking about the clients that come through and they're not just clients, they're community, right? Yeah. And they are folks who exist alongside us. I think when people throw titles on, there's like this automatic perception of hierarchies of who is important in the world. When people want to mess with this social justice type things, it's like, who are you? And if there's a perception that you're nobody, the treatment is different. But if you come along with the community, it's like Chola Mode activated, right? And so I feel like you always carry that. You're like, let me remind you, right? Your perception of me might be one thing, but we're going to tell you. So if you don't mind kind of throwing down on that front and
well, I hope I don't offend nobody, but
in a way, I mean, hella chingona, two offensive terms together, right? A little abrasive. You don't need my permission. You know that.
You know, honestly, I'm not a woman of title. I'm not. Anybody that knows me that I'm just Dulce, regular Dulce from San Ho, and that's it. You know, at the end of the day, the titles are not my thing. You know, during COVID, I got deployed as a disaster worker for the county. And so, you know, a lot of us there were just like, hey, we should go back to school. We should do this. And I was like, well, I would have to get a master's. You know, my mom's been telling me. So then I did this program. In less than a year, I got a master's in criminal justice, but I didn't do it for me. I did it for my mom and dad that didn't have that luxury. Mm. And I get very emotional because it's hard. It's hard seeing our parents, you know, now at that stage where they're just like, you know, we don't know when they're going to go. And so Dia de los Muertos to me has always been key because you have that remembrance, but it's not like, you know, when you go to a Catholic funeral and everybody's crying and then you get out of there and you're like depressed, like it's a celebration. And so my mom is from Durango and my dad is from Zacatecas. And like, my mom's like, we never celebrated that. You know, we would go and clean up and, you know, just pray. And she's like, yo no sé de dónde agarras esto, you know, para Día de los Muertos. But honestly, like my soul and my heart, when my mom's sister passed away in 96, it really changed me. Like I started getting into like all the Mexican skulls and, you know, it wasn't, you wouldn't see it at the stores here. You would see it like a Tropicana, you know. That's where my dad would go every Saturday to change his check at San Jose Menswear for years.
Tropicana, Newberry, get your tires done on that same corner. Yep, for sure.
Yeah. And so honestly, Día de los Muertos to me, it's not just, you know, this celebration that now is publicized everywhere and, you know, corporate America has taken on everything about this. It's a spiritual awakening. It's a spiritual knowing that, you know, when we go, our family's waiting for us. And so, God damn it, Rosana, you have me all chillona now.
While you air out the tears right there, just showing some love on screen because we got all the chats streaming here. We got some hellos from Rocio Luna. We got some heys from Aloria Esperanza Benitez. Shout out to Durango. We've got someone on LinkedIn remaining anonymous but throwing us an A. And we've got, you know, familia.
Yeah.
Actual family of mine, community family of yours, Raul Tornel Jr. Thank you, Rosana Dulce, for your honesty. Right. And we've got Lupe Luna chiming in. Hola.
Lima.
Lima, pero chingona.
Thank you.
And I think it's important, right, to show those.
I can be very vulnerable, but I can be very hood in less than 5 seconds. So
both, right? They can coexist.
Yeah, you either catch me on my good or my bad side. And like, honestly, like the other day I had posted, I'm not sugar and spice and everything nice. I'm sage and hood. And I wish a motherfucker would, because when I have love for you, I will go to bat for you. You know, if you do me dirty, that's the last thing I ever want to hear about you, because I don't want that same thing happening to my own boys. So like my whole household is boys, and God knew that I couldn't probably have them handle a girl because she would be fire like me. But I've always instilled in my boys, you know, look at the hard work that mommy has done as a woman. And there's my son right there. but honestly, like as a woman trying to do everything a man has done, it's beyond exhausting, but at the same token, it's very rewarding. So I'm always telling them, like, if your mom was pregnant at a young age, if your mom was going to school, was working 2 to 3 jobs, didn't have to do student loans because I was hustling and bustling, you know, trying to do everything and still raising a family. And I'm not saying it was just me. My mom helped me out a lot. You know, my dad helped me out a lot. But in the community, you don't see these things. These are things that we don't talk about. You just say like, oh, espustaya, or, you know, she's going to school, but I don't know how she does it. Well, it's because we never talk about it. So like I tell my boys, like, you know, if you ever are in a relationship, you know, like a woman has a lot of other things. You need to help her. You need to be that 50-50, because or else she's going to be like me. She's going to be telling you what it is. And so I am blessed with my boys. I love them to death. My oldest looks like me. My middle one thinks like me. And my little one is just, he's just a big bear. So it's hilarious, girl. It's hilarious.
I have 3 girls, and they each carry a part of us, right? That yeah. is amazing, but also drives me nuts. I don't know about you. There are parts where I'm like, I'm scared, but I'm also really proud. it's like what they have by way of permiso, what they have by way of some things that we didn't have, and hopefully what they can retain that we did have, right? Yeah. I think a lot of what you're touching on in terms of the parts that we don't always get to talk about, I hear this constant narrative over self-made, and everybody wants to be self-made. And I'm like, I don't. I'm community made. I'm yeah. community forged. You know, there's a lot of rough edges to me that I am thankful for, that I think and I hope that my girls inherit, right? In a different kind of way that, yeah, I would like for them to be a little softer than maybe I could be, but mm-hmm. I also don't regret any of, you know, the struggles that we had. If I won the lottery tomorrow, great, right? I hope I can do some beautiful things with that. But I think there's a lot by way of our communities. And while I'm hearing you talk about the different parts of you and who you carry, not just into your work, but in your corazón always, whether it be ceremonia, being your art, whether it be at the Mexican Heritage Plaza, whether it be Marta back in the 90s, right? Carrying that legacy of not just those spaces, but every person que metió mano in that place, right? Every person that carried heart and cariño into that space to remind us, we're not self-made. I don't think that's a proud declaration to make. You would do that, I respect you for it, that's you, right? But for me, how I conceptualize the world, community made is where it feels like it's at. And that's kind of what I hear you saying también, right? Community made, community held, community accountable. And then I get back to this red lipstick resistance, because there is that part, right, where you're like, it was a signature look. Elementary school was when it started. It's been that way ever since. Pauline might not be here with us anymore, but the red lipstick is. It's a daily reminder. And so I always think about when you put on your makeup. Red lipstick is not, I mean, you probably can do it in your sleep. But over the years, I'm like, well, the shape of my lips is gradually changing. I got to put some attention into the red lips so it's right and it stays on, right? So I feel like it's kind of like a ritual.
Yes.
Do you kind of feel that way where you're like, I'm putting on my red lipstick, I'm going to warrior up. It's a ritual.
Remember. For reals. For reals. And, you know, it changes your mood. You know, having COVID, even here at the reentry, we have to wear a mask. And so unless I'm in a meeting in like a closed office, I don't have makeup. But like my mom would always tell me, like, oh, you know, if you're going to go to the store, tienes que ponerte tu, you know, tu lipstick, you know, presentable, because you never know who's going to be out there. And that's always been like in back of my head. But I mean, growing up, my mom would be like, ¿Por qué te estás poniendo ese lipstick? Parece hígado. right? And I was like, what the hell is hígado? And then finally one day she showed me and I'm like, girl, this is not hígado. But you know, because she wanted that perception of like, you have to be a modest woman. You have to have maybe a pink lipstick. You know, what are people going to say? And it's like, I've always told my mom, I don't give a fuck what people say. Like, they're not paying my bills. They're not paying anything. They're not taking care of nobody. So I don't care. I know my life. I know where I'm at. And the people that are going to stay in my life will stay in my life. If people, you know, come and go, it was for a reason. And, you know, I have to acknowledge it. But at the same token, like raising all boys in my household, it's been crazy because I always thought like, I'm gonna have a little girl, cause you know, she's gonna have curly ass hair and she's gonna be like a little gordita and everything's gonna be great. But you know, God had other plans for me. And I had to humbleize myself. I mean, even back when COVID hit, I got COVID like in October and then I find out I have cancer. And then in December, I have to go in to get the cancer removed and no one was there. And it really made me think like, holy shit, I am a fucking G. Like my husband's in the parking lot. I'm cool, calm and collective. I'm about to get an operation where they're basically going to remove all of my female parts and have this freaking hysterectomy. And I was like at a peace. And this is where I was just like, you know, after everything I've done since I was 17 years old, watch for 14, let's do 14. From 14 to now, like I've had a great life. Mm-hmm. And if something would happen, my boys know their mom was a fucking G. Like I have done everything for my kids, you know? And I love them to death.
Mm-hmm.
So don't fuck with my kids, okay? Don't. That's one thing. And that's another thing about community. Like, you know, people that have worked with me have either I've worked with them or a client. They know where my heart is and where my intentions are. And it's funny because sometimes they'll be like, oh my God, I seen your boy. You know, he was at Safeway or this and that. And I was like, okay, what was he doing? But like I have eyes and ears everywhere in San Jose and even in South County now. And it's hilarious, but again, it goes back to, I'm giving my heart to you. Like I'm always talking about my kids. And I always say like my three boys, my kings. And it's like, if I'm not here, I know someone else is gonna take that ring. Right. So it's that community bond that I have. And so even my license plate, I mean, it says SJ Dulce for a reason, you know, because I really represent San Jose. I really represent the East Side. Like I grew up on King and Alum Rock. My pictures are at the Mexican Heritage Plaza. Like as much as I don't like to toot my horn, like I'm everywhere. But I guess it goes back to, I give my all in my work. I give my all to that client that needs help because when I was a youngster, the help was there for me. So mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if you see my kids out there, let me know.
Right. We got someone chiming in on LinkedIn. Es que no me mantiene, no me detiene.
That's right.
Right. But I hear you talking about your kids and you're like, don't fuck with my kids. And I think there's our kids, like our actual kids. And then there's like our kids. Right.
Yeah.
So when you said, and anyone else, right, they've got my kids too. And I kind of feel like Chicanas in particular, right.
Yes.
Elevating us in that way. Being real with how we exist in that way. You mess with our kids, we're gonna have something to say and somebody better have some explaining to do. And even then you better be ready for your explanation to vibe right. Because if it's not vibing on that human front, mm-hmm. then some recalibration needs to take place. Exactly. And so what I love about us is, again, right, beyond titles, beyond our positions at work, beyond our little professional markers, the way we show up as people for our kids, it's beautiful. It's amazing. We definitely don't play. We saw this happen when the digital divide was going down in Gilroy. We see yeah. this happening when girls are, you know, being put in juvenile hall and something needs to change. And we see people banding together, getting on the phone, getting on social media, but also strategizing, right, with those systems. And we're in all the little nooks and crannies doing the work. So you better be ready when you mess with our kids to be held accountable, right? And I feel like that's what people don't understand. They see the red lipstick, or they see us looking abrasive. They write us off as, I was never a chola. I was like, so square. I'm a Rubik's Cube, is what some family members have said to me in the past. But we grow up in the neighborhoods we grow up in, right? And we grow up with people. And we're all freaking people trying to do the best we can. And unfortunately, we also live in a context where other people don't see us that way and refuse to see us. So I feel like on top of that, your red lipstick and you showing up and saying, I don't give a fuck, is like a constant resistance, a declaration of our freaking humanity.
Yeah,
it's like a reminder to the rest of us. If somebody sees you coming down the street, there's Dulce with her red lipstick. Don't fuck with her kids. There's Dulce with her red lipsticks. She's going to tell you what's up. Right. And there's, again, you, the calaveras, but also how you brought up the picture of your family at the Mexican Heritage Plaza, having its, you know, pretty much permanent space up in that mix. And the constellation of people, hard work, other Chicanas, other Chingonas, other mujeres, and people who came together as community to say, we need this space symbolically, right? It's almost like a parallel to the red lipstick. The red lipstick needs its space. It signifies some stuff. It clues people in. Yeah. So you don't want to mess with that, right? To the point where you're always on lock with the red lipstick. But I can switch up the colors of my red lipstick because I'm not faithful to the red like that. All other conversation. But in that sense, it's like, even then, I know, right? Hot pink has its day. The nudes has its day. But when you see me with my red lipstick, it's a different vibe. And it's not just a vibe with me, but it's a different sense of who I feel like I'm carrying with me into a space.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, just piggybacking on what you said about the Mexican Heritage, the School of Art and Culture. I mean, Tamara Alvarado, I mean, if it wasn't for her, my story would have changed dramatically. Mm. But I mean, I have so much respect for her. She's like my madrina, my leader, my confidant, like everything, because she was one of the first women that she was like, I went to Stanford, and I was all, okay, like my mom would say stories about going and cleaning Stanford, but like she's a graduate and she's a Latina and she's a powerhouse. And I mean, honestly, like I have to give shout outs to Tamara because still to this day, I mean, she's always just a phone call away, you know? And so seeing that, seeing from where the neighborhood I came from, seeing, you know, my friends and family like leaving, whether it's getting incarcerated or just leaving the situation, it's been crazy. It's been crazy, but I think this is what's made me, you know, and that space there now in the community. I mean, I still remember when it was freaking the unemployment office, you know, cause I'm literally, my parents still live like, I would say 8 houses away from there. Mm. And so that whole area, you know, it's home to me. You know, when my dad would go walking 3 times a day with the dogs, you know, to the park and then come up Alum Rock. And, you know, I would always tell, you know, the people that I know around there, I'm like, hey, I have a hood check on my dad. Like, have you seen my dad? You know, and then they'd be like, no, we've seen him. We've seen him. So, you know, it's that community that you can't have nowhere else. You know, yeah, you have your groups or associations, but when your community, and I say it, start, like, I don't want to say it mean, but when you have that hood community, they will go for bat for you, whether it's your parents, your loved ones, you know, they'll do anything possible. And even like growing up, you know, it was just, you had that basis of, you know, who to go to. You know, and now as an adult, like I tell my boys, like, you know who to run to when shit hits the fan, you know, and it's probably me, because I'm the crazy one. My husband's more like low key, like, oh, everything's going to be all right, whatever. But like, you know, you have those special relationships. And even as an adult, I know when I need something, I know who to call, who to text. I mean, now with this whole drama with, you know, kids bringing guns to school, you know, when I seen it, I was just like, Rosana's kids are there. Like, oh my God, like my comadre's kids are there. You know, it's like, what can I do? And you won't get that in other communities, yeah. You know, and I don't want to bash no other ethnic groups or, you know, neighborhoods. But honestly, like, it's that networking and that love and that trust that you know who's going to go back for you. You know,
that day I said, Chicana Chisme did it again, right? God is the news a whole lot quicker. Yeah. God is the community care a whole lot quicker. On that same thread I had, you know, other Chicana moms saying, I got your kid, you know, I can go get your kid whenever you need. We had my brother-in-law, who's not a Chicana chamorro, right? Mary, my sister, was like, you know, we counted for such and such kid. So I think there's like people in our community that become a part of that fold, right? That we kind of see each other in that way. And it almost like even crosses neighborhoods. It crosses cities even, right? Because like those relationships have been made, you know? We've had each other's kids we've been out on the lookout for them for a while now. That I think this is one of the beautiful things about social media, is that we can have conversations like this without you having to leave where you're at. And with me being able to take care of my kids who are on summer vacation right now, right? And it's like still using the things that are available to us to be just a phone call away, just a clickable message away, right? Mm-hmm. And then reminding our kids, we got you. And I think a lot of this podcast is also me reminding folks, I got you. And all my messiness, I'm not always going to polish the episodes, because you need to understand that all of us, right, belong in every damn space we choose to be in. And I think that's the struggle, is like folks say, you and your red lipstick, not you. And I think there's something about you where you're like, didn't ask, I'm coming in anyway, right?
Yeah.
And that's important. It's important to also remind your folks who come in through the reentry center of that same dynamic. And then it's important for, you know, college students to know. But I want to go back to your master's experience, not because of the título of the master's, but because to go back, right, at this stage and phase in your life where you're about the work, you know about the work, you carry a lot of heart into it, you are thorough. And you got a community of folks who are looking out for you también, right? So what was that experience like going back? And I'm guessing, right, if from what I remember, that what you chose to study had a whole lot to do with your area of work.
Yeah.
Coming in with all this knowledge, it's not like you're like, blank slate, fill my brain with new things now. It's not how it goes.
You know, honestly, I should have done it a long time ago. I should have done it a long time ago, because the master's program was the easiest thing, just because of the years of experience that I've had. And it's funny, because other people would be like, oh, and how do you do this? And I'm a girl, please, like, seriously, like, read your book. Or I mean, and I don't want to I don't want to demonize, you know, people that are book smart, you know, that want to come into this field. But like, on a softer note, you have to have your streetwise person and your book smart person. But if you don't have one or the other, I think you're going to be lost, you know, because you get corrupted by people up above. You know, that's why sometimes as much as people are like, hey, why don't you do the probation officer? Why don't you become this? And why don't you become that? And it's like, because I've seen it, you know, there's powerful Latinas as probation officers that are, I mean, dear to my soul, and they're, you know, beautiful women. But you have to have a head to do this kind of work. Because again, there's a lot more men in this field than there is women. But honestly, I mean, the master's program, I should have done it a long time ago. But I just kept on thinking like, oh, you know, my kids have sports, I need to take care of my parents. Like, I've always had other people instead of prioritizing myself. Mm. And I get this from my mom. Because she does everything for everybody else. And then at the last moment, she's like, oh, I'm right here. And, you know, I'm trying to change that. You know, now that I'm 44, I'm trying to, and it's very hard, you know, because you love doing things for other people. But at the same token, I mean, just having that energy, having that support, you know, there was be times where I would be like locked in my room and I'm like, I need to finish this report. Like, it was just crazy, pero, you know, thankfully we got through it. The master's, you know, diploma is at my mom's house. Like, honestly, like, to me, it's just a piece of paper. It's a piece of paper, because you can have the piece of paper and not do your job diligently, and giving that extra effort to those clients that need it. You know, it's just a piece of paper. That's why, like, when people come in, they're like, oh, you know, you're PO because, you know, you have one of these. Nope. Sorry, I'm a community worker. Like, I don't carry a gun. I don't have a crazy badge. Like, seriously. Mm. Like, you know, that's the way I roll. And I think that's why a lot of people feel comfortable, you know, speaking their truth to me and letting me know what they really need, what services they need, what, you know, what mental health needs they need. Because that's another thing that's a big issue here. It's mental health and substance abuse. They don't know where to go. And it's like, I'm right here. I literally can give you a referral and you'll be in within an hour, right? You know? But again, it's like a lot of people don't know about the reentry center. People that are supposed to refer them over here, they're not doing their job. And hopefully in the next 6 months, you know, it'll be proven. What I'm saying is going to just flourish into a mass of people coming here to the reentry and getting the services that they need.
Nice. Yeah, because a lot of work went into making sure that that's exactly how it goes down there, right? Having those resources, supporting people, rather than continuing to punish them for past mistakes or systemic pitfalls, right? Because some people, let's be real, systemic pitfalls is where it's at. So I know we're getting close to the end of our time here. And I know for as much as I'm like hyping us up as Chicana, the reality of this podcast is also a reminder to everyone else who doesn't identify in that way, that a lot of what we live, a lot of what we have to offer is relatable across differences, right? A lot of our lived experience and the way that we see and speak in the world is relatable. And so I hope folks that are watching and listening in are getting some of that también, even if you don't identify as Chicana. But in this final little piece of the segment today, I always like to ask folks like consejo, right? And not to be like, oh, sage, dulce, even though I might think so, right? Teach me the ways. But what little parting piece of advice or corazón might you offer up someone listening in that might need that oomph, right? Whenever it is they come across, whether they're watching it on the restream or listening in on audio only in the podcast, mm-hmm. What consejo would you like to offer up in that way?
You know, honestly, it's just give that compassion and that empathy for the person that is in need. At the end of the day, we're all human. You know, we make mistakes. We might be saints. We might be sinners. But at the same token, if you're willing and able to help somebody else, have that compassion and empathy. You know, don't look at the person by the cover of their book. You know, I know within, you know, my kids, because I work a lot with San Jose High. That's my home school. So all my boys, you know, two of them have already graduated from there. I have one more to go. And I'm like a big mama bear. Like, you know, I knew your dad. I knew your mom. Like, I got you, you know? But sometimes they're like, damn, your mom looks like a freaking OG. Like, whoa, like, oh, that's your mom? Like, she doesn't look like your mom. And it's like, I'm not your typical mom. I'm not your typical mujer that's just going to sit there and be like, hi. Like, no, I'm going to go for bat for you, you know? And right now with you know, everything happening in our community, you have to have that empathy and compassion to help somebody in need. You know, whether it's a kid doesn't have lunch, a kid should always have food, you know, or I don't have enough money for sports. Dude, I got you. Let me make that path easier for you. Let me get my networks of people in the community. And I got you, you know, on your happy days, I got you, on your pissed off days, on your depressed days. You know, I'm not saying I'm a sunshine all day, every day. But, you know, I have to wipe my tears and keep on going, even when I'm freaking going crazy. And my boys that are listening, they know that sometimes mommy just needs a few minutes to recalibrate and put this lipstick on and just show you what I got. But, you know, honestly, if I have to just end it like this, it's just have that compassion and empathy for the next person.
And that goes a long way. And it's always a little sweeter with that red lipstick. So thank you so much for making the time. My peoples that are listening or watching in, thank you so much for vibing with us.
Thanks for listening to the Hella Chingona podcast. Remember to show us some love by subscribing and following the podcast at hellachingona.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Hella Chingona podcast. That's HellaChingona podcast. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So drop us a comment or simply share the podcast with a friend.